In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit.
Amen.
Amen. Christ is risen.
Indeed, he is risen.
And a blessed Mother's Day to all of the mothers who are here, and we pray in remembrance of all of our mothers, as well as those who have fallen asleep in the hope of resurrection. And it's in this hope of the resurrection that the church continues its celebration during this Paschal season. This Sunday, as it were, we revisit the tomb. We revisit the story of the resurrection of Christ. In fact, the Orthodox Church revisits the tomb every Sunday. We hear in the readings from the Gospels at Matins, the readings, one of these resurrection Gospels is read. It's proclaimed because we never want to get too far away from the awareness of what the resurrection calls us to, the awareness of what the resurrection means for us in our life. And so today we hear this story of St. Mark's Gospel, which is interesting because this first little bit of it is so short and to the point. It's really a wonderful story in that it shows how the simple revelation of the empty tomb took place to the holy myrrh bearers, to the holy women, Mary Magdalene and her companions. The Venerable Bede had this to say about this revelation of the resurrection. He said, "On this most sacred early hour is bestowed great dignity from the glory of the Lord's victory over death. For it was in the earliest inception of that day that the women became attentive in doing their service to the Lord. Speaking mystically, the night was already beginning to grow toward an emerging dawn. He who was the author and the superintendent of time rose from the dead during the final part of the night. Then the emerging day is made manifest. Thus it becomes a festival, brightened by the light of the resurrection." So what he is saying and what he's reminding us of is how the women's discovery of the empty tomb was just simply an affirmation or a revelation of what had already taken place in the night, in the darkness, in the blackness of the fallen world. The light of God would dawn. And this notion of the dawning of the light is very much a part of the resurrection Gospels, early in the morning, just as dawn was breaking. Dare we say that the women even started their work before the dawn, preparing the oils, bringing them together so that they could then meet at the tomb and then go and anoint the body of our Lord. This is, as St. Bede says, a festival. This is the beginning of the festival. The dawn, the sunrise begins the day of festival. Now, what we're talking about here is not the day of festival 2 weeks ago. 2 weeks ago started the Feast of Pascha. And that was a day. And that day, the sun rose and the sun set, as it did every day during Bright Week. And since then, the sun will continue to rise and to set. But the festival for the church continues forever. You see, this is the dawn of a new day, an unending day, a never-ending day, as it says in the hymns of the church. And it is a day of festival, of celebration. The time of mourning and darkness has passed us. Now, this is hard for us to grasp. And yet, I think it is essential. It is essential for us to realize that the light has dawned and will never set again. The light I speak of here is the light of Christ. And that light of the resurrection has dawned. It continues to shine. It will shine until ages of ages. And you see, if we come to this understanding of what the Paschal Feast is, it's not just a day. But rather, it's the dawning of a new day that continues, in which we live and move and have our being. We live in the day of resurrection. So for us to revisit these stories, you know, these are fresh to us. This is today that the Lord has made, the day of the resurrection. We are coming into the dawn of the light. And what is the light here? It's not just the sun rising, but it is the sun of righteousness rising, illumining our hearts, an illumination which begins in holy baptism. But it's an illumination which continues. You know, just as the day gets brighter, and, you know, when you first see the first signs of dawn, it's a wonderful thing, but it's even more wonderful as it begins to illumine the world. And then you can begin to see what's around you, and you begin to see and understand what is present in the world. So it is with the new day. God's light, his spiritual light, is shining in the hearts of us Christians, enabling us to see life in new light, to see our lives in new light, in a day of festival, not mourning. You see, the groping and the sadness that we have in our lives. Now, I'm not talking here about the sadness which is the sadness which leads to repentance. That's actually the dawning of the light. When we see, you know, in the light of Christ, in the light of day, we see our sins. We say, oh, that's terrible. And we repent over that. So that the light can come and illumine our hearts and show us what's right and what's wrong and how to live and all of those kinds of things that living in the festival means. You know, it was one of the interesting things. I don't think as Americans we're all that good at festivals. You know, I think the Slavic churches and the Greek churches, you know, they had a festival. There's one thing they knew how to do was festival. The Orthodox Church knows how to do festival. In the Slavic churches, somebody got married. 7 days of festival. They wouldn't stop festival. And it really is a sense. There is a sense that this is a spiritual reality. Of course, we can't keep feasting in the world day in and day out for days and days. Otherwise, you know, we'll just get burned out. But if we celebrate the feast with spiritual hearts, in the spiritual light, it's a festival which never ceases. But just simply brings more joy, more truth, more illumination, more love. You see, and this is what the women were experiencing on that first day. What was it that stirred them to go do the unthinkable? When was the last time you went to a grave and opened it up so that you could anoint the body with oils? I've never done that. I don't plan to. They do the unthinkable. Did you ever stop to think about that? Why did they do that? That's crazy. Love. There's only one thing that could possibly have prompted them to do that. And that was love. Love for the Lord and faithfulness to him, which is what love is. And so that prompted them to go back and to carry out this ministry, this mission, this task, this service, as St. Bede points out, their service to the Lord, they desire to fulfill. And so they come to him. And then they wonder, well, who will roll back the stone from the tomb? They will face obstacles. And each one of them wonder what goes through their minds as there is no festival to celebrate. They're in mourning. And yet, the dawn is beginning to break. And it's a dawn which already lived in their souls. The light that hadn't set, the love of Christ sustained them through their grief and through their sorrow. And so it was love then that prompted them to go and to seek him out. They didn't know what that meant, but they found out what it meant. The Lord himself would be revealed to them first in the mystery of the empty tomb. They would not receive the revelation of the risen Christ right away in terms of meeting him, but they would first encounter that their obstacle was mysteriously removed. The stone had been rolled back. Well, isn't this amazing? Our obstacles to the faith can be removed by God. They are as nothing to him. They're obstacles to us. Again, because we do not see the world in the light of God. But in the power of God, all things, all stumbling blocks, all hindrances to our union and communion with Him can be removed and will be removed if we just persevere in love. Love opened the door of the tomb to these women. It does the same for us if we seek out the Lord. And as they begin to come to this revelation, this understanding, it's like the light is beginning to show them the truth, the spiritual truth. You see, we live in a world that's bathed with light. The sun is up, it's bright, the clouds have been blown away. And now we can see the world today, but we don't see it as it truly is. We see it in the darkness of our own minds, in the darkness of our fallenness, in the darkness of our sins. But these women allowed Christ to illumine them to the truth of what the resurrection, what the festival that He was revealing to them really was. The third thing I'd like to mention about this regarding the women is the unique perspective that each of these women must have had. You know, their relationship with our Lord Jesus Christ was unique. It was special. Mary Magdalene, the one out of whom seven demons had been cast. Imagine that. And so she had a relationship with Christ. Christ had healed her, had delivered her from her sins. She knew what deliverance was from sin was all about. She had experienced a glimpse of the resurrection light even in her before this moment of the resurrection, because Christ had healed her. But each of the other women, Salome, each of them that came, they had their own experience of our Lord. Mary, the most holy Theotokos. Each of the apostles, think of them, you know, James and John, and John and Peter, we'll hear in another one of the Gospels, run to the tomb. You know, each of them had their own encounters with our Lord, you know, as they approached His crucifixion, Peter denying Him three times, John being the one at the foot of the cross who beheld the death of the Savior. I say all of this for a couple of reasons. First of all, for us, the light is beginning to dawn. The light is coming up. The light is available if we just open our hearts to its reality, to its truth. The light is in the church. The light is in the teachings of Christ. The light is in the words of the fathers. The light is in this liturgy. The light is in your prayers. The light is in the love of your families. The light is shining. It's there. You don't have to have seven demons cast out of you for the light of Christ to begin to illumine you inside. It's already started. You wouldn't be sitting here if this were not true. But the idea is to move on into the festival, into the brightness, into the joy, beyond the encounter of the empty tomb into the encounter with the living God, as these women and the myrrh bearers would themselves receive. Secondly, we have work to do. We have spiritual work. We have the labor of love, the ministry of service, as St. Bede says, to the Lord. And believe it or not, through that work, we will meet Christ, the risen Christ. It's His promise to us that those who would serve in the spirit with which He served His apostles, that's where they will see me. We will encounter the risen Lord in our service to Him, whether that be in the church or in our families or in love of our parents, our mothers, grandparents. These labors of love, of patience, of long-suffering, these will be revelatory for us. Let it be assured to us that the obstacles in life will remain for a time. They will be stumbling blocks and tripping stones for us unless we seek the power of God to remove them. Yes, it is right for us to wonder how in the world this burden with which I have to deal, I can ever deal with it. We're absolutely right to see that we do not have the power to roll the stone back. But in the power of God, all things are possible. And yes, especially as we get older, as we face our suffering and our death. The final enemy to be destroyed, as St. Paul says, is death. Death is going to be removed like a stone by Christ from us. Let's let him remove it now. Let's live in the resurrection now to give us an understanding of what our death is, our death in the flesh, to see our death in the light of his death, which is the only way to approach these times of suffering. We also have, as St. Peter Chrysologus wrote, the stone of the heart. We know those stones as well, don't we? The stones that have to be removed, they have to be rolled away so that the light of Christ can illumine the darkness of the heart and of the soul. And finally, ours, each of us, is a unique journey. Our journey to Christ is unique, as is our perspective of it. God will reveal himself in ways to you that he will not reveal himself to any one of us. The Lord encountered Mary Magdalene at the tomb. None of us received the blessing of that divine encounter, save through her testimony. An important testimony it is. And we have that truth that serves as a pattern for us of how God reveals himself to us. But there will be ways in which God reveals himself. He wants his light to shine in your hearts, but you have to be attuned to it. You have to be aware of it. You have to open your eyes. You know, I think we're like the little babies. You watch the little babies, you know, when they wake up and they're just, you know, they're drowsy. They can hardly see. They can hardly open their eyes. In fact, even when they're first born, they can't really focus on anything. That's the way we are. In this light of the resurrection, we're still infants trying to see, trying to understand, trying to focus so that the light of Christ and his resurrection can bring resolution, can bring clarity, can bring understanding so that we can see the world as God has made it. But it will happen to us in individual ways. Some of us through our love of Scripture, some through the love of the fathers, some through our studies, others through the service of others, others through our families, others through the love of our children. For some of us, it will be in our hobbies or going out and seeing beautiful things in the world. In a multiplicity of ways, in ways that you know uniquely, in which God has revealed, he will reveal himself to you. Open your eyes and behold a sign. The Lord is in our midst, the Lord risen from the dead. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen.
Christ is risen.
Indeed, he is risen.
Lord, have mercy.